I don't think anybody will judge our work harder than we judge our own work. So we have to sometimes be able to take ourselves out of the equation and say, is the message that I want to share in this piece there?
There's over 1.9 million podcasts. Most of them never see the results they expected. They want to monetize, but their show ends up costing them money, and they never achieve the listenership they desire. This show will help you launch, grow, monetize, and inspire with your podcast. Get ready to take notes, because here's your host, Adam Adams.
Hey, hey, it's Adam Adams. And generally, as you may have gotten accustomed to, any even-numbered episode is supposed to be me alone pouring into you and your business. However, I did so many different interviews with so many really, really good people that on this episode today, even though this would typically just be me pouring into your business, me just sharing something short, like 5, 10, 20 minutes, where I poured into you and your podcast and growing your brand and really getting you in front of everybody, I'm going to do that today with an interview. So let's get right into it. And we're back with another episode of the Podcast on Podcasting. I'm your host, Adam, AAA Adams, joined with Sandra Noemi Torres. How are you, Sandra?
I'm doing great, Adam. Thank you so much for having me. I feel so privileged to be on your show. So thank you.
Thrilled to have you and excited to kind of dive in. I think some of the things that I want to talk about is a little bit of like messaging, getting in front of the right people, social media, hashtags, messaging like on your podcast and in advertisements and kind of like social media. And I think you have a lot to offer on that topic. So I'm sure we are going to get into it. Just let the listener know a little bit about you. You actually started, you do marketing, you do strategy, you do messaging, you help others do that. You're really passionate about people's voices and being heard and knowing what their message is, especially within the Next community as well. I know that you founded, it's called United Latinas, right?
Yes.
And additionally, I know that helps minority entrepreneurs, business leaders in entrepreneurship. And you do workshops for that, is that right?
Yes, we do.
What's workshops. Like one example of like a workshop that you host for the Latina entrepreneur community?
Yeah, we have several different types of workshops. One would be a Take the Stage workshop, where it takes them through a process of getting clear on their voice and their messaging and owning the mic, at least grabbing it and feeling confident and getting used to that confidence, right? I think we have to do that a bunch of times before you get real good at it.
Awesome. Awesome. And I have several questions for you. I want to start just like by understanding when you started your podcast, because it's only been a year or so. Is that
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm. This one, yeah.
When you started, oh, you had another one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell me about that one too.
Yeah.
Before I get into questions.
No, that one I had about 2 years ago. It was a podcast radio. So we were on the radio every Friday night for about 3 months. And that was the original. I did have a blog talk radio in 2010. I'll tell you that. That file's still floating around there. But about in 2018, it was about 3 months. And it was a radio podcast that we did.
What was it about?
It was minding your business, which is literally minding. We're talking about business strategies and life strategies, right? Things to manage our own personal well-being and our life at work.
What happened if it was up for just a few months and then what happened after that?
So that one was with a co-host. And so as you can see, or maybe as you could imagine, co-hosts don't always work out when it comes to creating something together. And I had recently had met her. So it was kind of something like there was an opportunity and a radio station came to us and kind of heard us go back and forth with some banter and a meeting that we were having. And they're like, you guys would be great on the radio. So we're like, okay, let's try this. That's kind of how that happened. It wasn't like somebody that I knew for a very long time. So it didn't work out after 3 months, but that's it. We ended up ways and it was just like, okay, we did this. It's time to do our own thing separately.
What's kind of like the takeaway for the listener with regard to them, perhaps you working with a co-host or not? Because I definitely know lots of people that feel like that co-host is more of like a crutch, just because they might be lacking a bit of self-confidence, which I think we all do in a way. And they might think, if I have a co-host, I'm more likely to actually produce content. because A, I'll be accountable to somebody else, and B, it'll take some of the burden off of me. So there's probably a lot of people that are listen to this episode and that are already kind of considering having a co-host. So what are the pros and cons, and what do we need to consider before doing it?
That is a long list. I would say first thing is, if you're the one that came up with the idea, like, how did the podcast evolve? If you're the one with a vision, then getting a co-host may not always get you to that vision yourself. If you're very like, this is what I want to talk about, these are the issues that matter, this is the funness that I want to bring, and unless your co-host is very in line with that, you're going to bump heads at some point. If you have a trusted relationship for a long time, many years, and you guys really fully understand how to banter and how to feed off of each other, that's wonderful. That's great synergy. I heard beautiful synergy on podcasts. But if it's brand new and you're already waiting for that person to be ready, that's the other thing, right? Sometimes you're going to be ready and you're like, and maybe that co-host might have some issues where they can't be on the show or on that episode. And then you may feel, crap, I can't do it then. So you have to, I would say, like, be very in line with that person if you're going to make the decision. And if the vision is yours, you have to pursue it solo, I think, in my opinion. And don't let, if you do have a co-host and that co-host can't appear for a couple episodes, pursue it anyway. Like, keep doing it. Don't use them as a crutch. Make sure that you're delivering that message and you're creating the content consistently.
Cool. A lot to think about, because I know that for me, when I first started my first podcast, there was 3 co-hosts, and it was definitely too many, and the other 2 died off pretty fast, just because kind of getting our schedules together wasn't always easy. And I think the podcast can be valuable with only one host, and you don't need 2 or 3. And if the podcast starts making money, if that's what you're looking for and that's what you're wanting for the podcast, once you have enough listeners and ratings and reviews and things like that, you start making significant money through the podcast. But significant money is relative, because if you have 3 co-hosts and let's just say you're making $5,000 a month, it's really only $1,600. Well, I'm not even sure if I'm doing the math right. What's 5,000 divided by 3? I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it. 5,000 divided by 3. Yeah, 1660. And so, like, that all of a sudden you were like, hey, this is great. This is paying my bills. And now it's like, man, I still have to have a job because it's only $1,600 a person. So I think there is a lot to think about. And it's good to mention that your new podcast, you don't have a co-host, right?
No.
And same with me. Ever since that happened, I'm really only starting a podcast with myself, because I can count on me. I know when I'm going to be around. I know that if I don't want to do it, I don't have to do it. And just kind of having the extra moving parts. And also, maybe if you're making money and you have split revenue, probably better to go ahead and do it on your own. There's other considerations, and that wasn't really what I wanted to stay on, but I thought that it would be valuable. So, like, with you, through the years, you had a Blog Talk Radio in 2010, I think you said, and then you also started this other podcast a couple of years ago, and it was also on the radio, and it went for a few months, and then you've got this other podcast that you've had for approximately a year. What have you learned? What challenges did you have to overcome in order to get to where you are?
Challenges. That's really interesting question, because I don't consider things specifically challenges. I'm very tech savvy. I like working with editing software. I like the world of marketing and business and all of the cool tools that are out there that help us do our job better. When it comes to interviewer people that I want to interview or conversations that I want to have, I have found, just I guess through my life experience, you know, just reaching out has always been the way, right? I think that's how we all process and get our interviewees, is reaching out to someone. Specific challenges, I would say, if I don't have bulk episodes in the tank kind of thing, and then maybe I have to figure something out, or I've always just processed through everything. My goal is to drop an episode every Monday, do or die kind of motive. That's kind of my thing. So maybe on the weeks that I didn't feel like recording, I guess that would be the biggest challenge. On the weeks that maybe I was off or didn't feel like recording that week, I created a solo episode, but I made sure I dropped something. So I didn't really consider it a challenge. I just, like you said, you can hold yourself accountable. You can depend on yourself. You know when you're going to get it done. So I think that that's the key.
Okay.
No hard challenges.
And for you, it's more weekly, every Monday. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've been editing it on your own?
Yes. Then?
Mm-hmm. Do you prefer to edit it on your own, or like, is there a reason why you don't pass it on to like a team to just, so you just focus on maybe recording and let somebody else do the rest?
Yeah, I absolutely see myself evolving to that. In the beginning, it was a lot of fun editing it. And I still like editing the audio because I want to see how it sounds and I want to create that. The video portion, I might start outsourcing that. I would come to you. I always tell people about you. I'm like, you got Adam Adams. He does it. But
okay. But so the video. So for you, you enjoy the creative process. You like hearing it. You'll want to make sure that it sounds good. But like the video, is it just like videos maybe more of a challenge than the audio, or it takes more time? Why would you, out of curiosity, why would you give that part off, but not really the audio editing?
For the video portion, what I'm looking for is to create those teasers and the clips. So while I can do basic video editing of chopping off the front, putting intros, outros, the clipping and the finding those pieces that I want to promote, those teaser clips is what has become, maybe it's a little too much for me to do it all.
Got it.
On top of everything else.
So like through all this time, how do you get guests? I'm trying to think of the right question. Within getting guests on the podcast, is there any automation or tools that have helped you make it easier?
I don't use any automation for the guests process.
Okay. How about for like, do you use Calendly or do you, because that's pretty helpful. Because like thinking about having to go back and forth, it can get really frustrating. So you do use Calendly?
I use Calendly sometimes. And I got to tell you, it doesn't always, because I don't use Zoom specifically, which I'm going to go back to using Zoom for my video. I was using StreamYard. So StreamYard, I had to manually create a link anyway and then send it in. So that's why I didn't have that process where it sent them the link automatically. But I will be doing that going forward. I'm finding that even the Zoom quality of videos is better than the StreamYard, even though I really liked it.
Cool. Yeah, that is, I know like with Zoom, there's many people that talk about the video quality and the audio quality. And I know that StreamYard does some really cool things. And we used to pay for StreamYard and we just never used it. I've heard a lot of really good things about like Riverside.fm, and I've seen it in progress and seen what it can do. But it's still like with Calendly, I can add the Zoom and it just creates a brand new one. And so I've always said like, yeah, you'll get more quality out of using like Riverside.fm for the video. But if you're doing multiple episodes a week or a day, it can get really exhausting because you're always having to give somebody, you'll either A, have to give everybody like a unique link on your own as you're creating it manually, or B, you'll have the potential of having people log in while you're recording. And so I would way rather use something where the audio was always perfect and the ease of use. So I think it's interesting that you're one of very few people that would agree with me on that. Most other people are like, they look down their noses, oh my gosh, you're using Zoom. No, Zoom is fine. Zoom works just fine. There's a couple of issues, but it solves a lot of other issues because like I can have 8 people on a Wednesday come on to the podcast back to back, and I never have to worry about somebody logging into the Zoom meeting while I'm recording. So
yeah,
good
yeah.
stuff. Any other like hacks that you've learned through podcasting that it could be valuable to somebody who's been doing this less than a couple of years?
Yeah, I would say whichever hosting that you go with, you mentioned a couple where they have their own distribution channels, right? So a lot of them will distribute you, put you in the Apple, put you in the Spotify. They'll have their own distribution. Whichever ones you're not in or that they don't distribute, don't shy away from feeling that you can add your podcast to those channels. And one that's often forgotten, iHeartRadio is a big one, obviously. And the one that is always forgotten is Amazon. If you Google my name in Amazon, you'll pull up my podcast quickly. So Amazon is a very easy way to distribute it. I actually wrote a blog about it, but it's very easy to just submit your podcast to Amazon and you'll have bigger distribution. So don't feel stuck with just wherever you're at. Make sure that you're in all of those platforms. So Amazon, Pandora. Pandora takes a little bit of time, but still submit your podcast to Pandora as well.
That was really good. So iHeart is one that I thought that most of the platforms automatically went to iHeart. You said that there's platforms that don't automatically go there. You mentioned like with Amazon that you just kind of got to reach out to them and submit it, and it's not that hard.
No, I have a link. I can send you the link as soon as just kind of copy it from one of my blogs. Cool. Yeah, very easy. Very easy process.
And then with Pandora, it takes just a little bit more time, but it's not a big deal at all.
Correct. Yep.
Cool. Yeah, that's super valuable. And that's actually something like probably by the time you're hearing this, it's already has happened. Like, so we're talking in the past, but my team's been looking to make sure that this podcast is on Amazon. So having that link would be valuable to everybody who's starting a podcast so they can really make sure that they're on those full distribution channels just to get that extra amount of value. So it's kind of cool that you could put in your name and come up on Amazon.
Yeah.
So that's just basically you're sitting there and you say, Alexa, play Cafe Cone Leadership, and it'll do it.
Yep. Siri cool. too.
And Siri. Okay. So with Siri, is that different from Amazon or is that connected?
I don't know where she pulls it from. I don't know if I'm assuming maybe Apple, but any audio or of those assistants, voice assistants.
That's cool. Nice. I agree. One thing. So as we're recording this, we're still researching the Amazon thing and what you're about to share is going to be really beneficial. But by the time this is aired, we'll be the pros at it. By the time this is aired, just because there's always a lag several weeks after. But that's something that we're focusing to serve clients with, is to make sure that they're on all the distribution channels. So it's really valuable just to me personally that you brought up the Amazon and that you're going to make sure that we have the link so that we can get our podcasts on there. So thank you. How about wondering, like you mentioned earlier, that you don't think of some things as challenges. So it's going to be tough for you maybe to answer this, but if there's something that you're still working on with your podcast, like making sure that it gets out in front of the right people that you have had on or that you want listening can find it, or they're leaving ratings and reviews or whatever it is. Like, is there something that you're currently working on, since you don't have challenges? Is there something that you
have lots of challenges?
Is there anything that you're currently like working on to improve your show?
Always looking to improve my show. So everything, every aspect of it. I'm never settled with this is perfect. I think I'm always, and I'm content with the journey of discovering, right? I think I heard Gary Vee once say, there is no place you get to, right? It's the journey that we enjoy. It's the hustle. And hustle may not be a good word for everybody, but whatever it is, the life experience, the things we have to do every single day, that is the fulfilling part. So I'm always looking to improve the show, the types of questions that I ask, the voice, the sound, making sure that if there's anything I need to tweak, making sure that the copy on the notes are there, which I need to be, that is a challenge for me, actually. Hey, I just found it.
Nice.
I just found it. It's the notes, not the, what's the
show
word
notes.
For it? Show notes. Thank you. Yes.
Cool. So never settled, never perfect. I'm going to come back there because I love that thought, because you're still doing it. And others might be afraid to even get there because it's not perfect there, because it's not settled. They only want to produce something that's settled. So I'm definitely going to go into there. But you mentioned there's a lot and you're always constantly improving on all of them. For example, the questions that you ask, the guests that you have on, the sound quality, your voice, the microphones, how you use the microphones, the other parts of the equipment. Even you mentioned that you were using StreamYard, now you're going to Zoom. So it's always this very fluid, organic, living and breathing organism called your podcast. And each and every day, you know that it's not perfect, but you continue to put it out. You mentioned the show notes. So maybe we can spend some time like just brainstorming the show notes a little bit in case there's something of value that I can give you even on this podcast that might help others as well. But as far as like you feeling like you're never really settled, it's never really perfect, what is out there that's allowing you the freedom, the ability, the gall to actually edit and publish an episode if you still feel like you're going to be better tomorrow?
I don't want to be 70 years old and say, man, I should have started that podcast when I wanted to. Time's going to happen, right? Like it's going to happen anyway. And I don't think anybody will judge our work harder than we judge our own work. So we have to sometimes be able to take ourselves out of the equation and say, is the message that I want to share in this piece there? Maybe I was very critical of my voice or some of my inflections or some ways that I sound, or maybe I said too many. I don't want to look back and say, I never got better. How can you get better if you don't do it? People, like you said, they want to come out of the box perfect. Everything's got to be perfect. I got to have all the top of the rated equipment, everything, the backdrops, everything's got to be perfect. But if you wait for perfect, perfect's never going to come. And you're not going to be a perfect voice if you don't get to practice it and execute on it. So I'm content with the journey. Like screw it mentality. F it is what I typically say. Like, man, stop being so hard on yourself and just hit publish and trust. Trust that you're going to be better tomorrow. And that not so perfect episode can only get better, can only allow you to get better if you just hit publish.
Yeah. My sweetheart and I, we are kind of like our own little book club. And sometimes we listen to podcasts and talk about like what we learned. And she started telling me just yesterday, she started telling me about either a podcast that she listened to or a book that she listened to. I don't recall, but the point is that there was a example that I think illustrates a lot of what you just said, Sandra. And there was this example of somebody went to two different types of people, and they went to all of these, they went to half of the people and they said, we want you to produce as many of these as humanly possible. Just make millions if you can. We want you to focus not on quality, but on quantity. And then they went to the other group of people and they asked them to create the exact same things, but they said, don't rush it. Don't make too many. We want you to focus on quality. We want you to make really good product that is really, really, really impressive. And then they tested it. And what was kind of weird is when they looked back to see on which group made the best quality, the group that focused on quantity made the best quality because they did it through repetition, through practicing, through making mistakes over and over and over. They ended up being able to perform the highest quality. And the people that focused on being perfect had actually gotten the worst amount of quality and way fewer to be able to even show for. And so like with, as you're saying, you don't want to be 70 and looking back and saying, I never started. It's like, you want to just go ahead and produce, make sure that the message is there, make sure that it adds value and get it behind you and start on the next one. And I think that that's going to be really helpful for us as newer podcasters, less than 2 years into our journey, to be able to say, all right, for me, maybe I need to do what Sandra said or what Adam Sweetheart got from a book or whatever. Like, let's just produce, let's just do. And we're going to improve faster and better because of being willing to make a few mistakes along the way. Love it. Love it. We can just end there. Sandra, what? I guess I have three last things. So Sandra's podcast is called Cafe Con Leadership. And you can get it wherever you're listening to this, including Amazon, iHeart, and Pandora. So wherever you're listening to this show, go and find Sandra at the same place. And if you feel so inclined after listening to an episode or two of the value that she delivers, give her an honest written review. Additionally, I want to make sure that, Sandra, that you have a chance to kind of give one last piece of advice that we didn't touch on today on this episode that is for a newer podcaster who's in their journey growing and wanting to be the best that they can. And then just let us know, besides the podcast, because I've already shared that, Cafe Con Leadership, find it wherever you're listening to this. How does the listener find you and get a hold of you if they wanted to work with you? So number one, go and find your podcast. Number two, Sandra, what's the big piece of value? And then after that, just let us know how we can find you.
Thank you so much, Adam. For the piece of value, that's something that we didn't cover, would be to study others that are doing it. Listen to how others in your industry or in your field are asking questions, the types of questions. Ultimately, it comes down to the questions that you're asking. So try to find questions that are intriguing, that really allow somebody to come up with an answer that really does deliver and drive value for your audience. So I study different people that I listen to and just observe. And that's really how I'm learning to get better. So I think it's so important when we don't know everything all the time is look at others who are already doing it. See how they're asking questions, the types of questions, see how they're responding. A lot of what you're doing, it's just kind of reading me back some of the things that I said. That makes me feel like great. It makes me feel like I'm being listened to. And I think your guests would appreciate that. We come off as better podcasters when we're doing those habits. So I would say that for sure.
Cool.
Yeah. And then
I feel like I cut you off. So no, keep going.
No. I was going to go on to the next one, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So go ahead and share with us like the best way to find you. Is there a website or an email that you want to share?
Yes. My email is sandra@planyourcompany.com. That's the best email for me.
Perfect. It's in the show notes now. And Sandra, thank you for jumping in, spending all the extra time with me and the listener, helping them pour into their business with their podcast so that they can really grow and hone in their message and know who they're talking to, get those episodes in the tank, be distributed over across all of those different places. And all the other value that you dropped today, we didn't really get into the hashtags and social media, which I kind of promised the listener. So maybe I have to ask you like one last question. When we're on social media, how do we use hashtags? And I guess we'll have to end there.
Yeah. So hashtags are different for every social media platform. They have their quantity limits. Use them conservatively on some platforms. Instagram wants you to use as many as you can. I think you have 30 to use. So not everybody uses all 30, but being intentional with the hashtags that you're using, think about them hard. Don't just like use broadly chosen hashtags that have millions of followers, especially if you're delivering a podcast with a niche. Try to find very niche hashtags and you're going to expand that reach.
Cool. Well, now, so as I believe in the beginning of an episode, you really should let your listener know kind of what their big promise is. And I remember I said, hey, we're going to get into hashtags. And so I was like, shiz, if we don't get into hashtags, then I'm a total hypocrite. So we've got to spend another extra little bit of time. So you're saying like use them to the fullest, especially like Instagram. It wants you to use 30 or so hashtags. You're also saying that when using hashtags, there's a couple of schools of thought. One is you could use a hashtag that just gets a lot of people following it. And the other one is you can get a hashtag that's a little bit more niche. And you mentioned that you prefer some of those niche hashtags. Why is, like, what is there an issue with using hashtags that a lot of people are already following?
It's not so much an issue, more so than you're just going to get swallowed up in that ocean. So unless your account is already a very popular account where you have a lot of followers, a lot of engagement on your accounts, if you're a new podcast or have a new podcast Instagram page, you're going to get swallowed up. Your content's not really going to get seen a lot. So when you start using those finite niche hashtags based on what your podcast is about, it's going to allow people that are interested in that subject to find you. Therefore, you're going to get more engaged people, more people that are actually interested in your stuff. We tend to think broad hashtags will be seen by all of those people, but we don't. The algorithm doesn't read it that way. The algorithm says, is that account, do people visit that account, number one? Do they have enough traction and engagement where when they use this hashtag, it actually means something? So that's why I say that it's not that you're just going to be swallowed up. So unless your account is very aggressive and doing good, pop one of those, several of those in with your content anyway, but be intentional with the hashtags and focus on the ones that really matter first. Is my suggestion.
Good stuff. Sandra, Noemi, I was going to say Naomi. Noemi, Sandra Noemi Torres, thank you for jumping on the podcast. I'm going to let you go. That's a wrap.
This episode is brought to you by growyourshow.com. Grow Your Show lets you be the star of your show while we handle all the hard stuff. We offer reliable and affordable post-production services that allow you to grow your show organically without all the work. So go ahead and check out the website right now and feel free to schedule a call with me and let's take your show to the next level. Again, growyourshow.com. You just press record. We handle the rest.